and welcome to the podcast. I'm Greg Detmer. Sitting across from me is Jenny J. Hillebrand. This is the Instructional Coaching Corner podcast, where Jenny and I talk about education stuff. Currently, we're talking about teams. Jenny, how you doing?
I'm good. I feel like we're a good team, Greg.
We're killing it. We are. We are a good team.
We are.
A team of two.
That's right.
We should get a producer, though.
Yeah, his name is Greg.
Yes.
Detmeyer.
We should call him the other Greg.
So really we probably have like four people that are working with us. It's Greg the producer, Greg the podcaster, Greg the tech support, you are a man of many hats.
Thank you, Jenny. Do you remember Home Improvement?
Uh-huh. Tim the Tool Man, yeah. Taylor.
Do you remember the episode when Heidi had her baby? It was like in the gas station in a winter storm. It was like in this little town.
Who's Heidi yet?
The tool girl.
That worked with Tim.
Yeah.
Okay. I vaguely remember
it. So she had her baby and Tim had to deliver it, of course. Like, why wouldn't you have Tim, the tool man, deliver your baby?
Right.
But they were at a gas station and it was in this little town and it's like the gas station, it was the same actor who played like five different roles. Like, hey, I need the gas station clerk. And he put a different hat on. And then I need a travel agent. He just put a different hat on and he just did it over and over and over.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. It's kind of like in Are We Done Yet, the Ice Cube movie.
I don't know that one either.
Where they build the house or whatnot.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The contractor's also the realtor and he's also the plumber.
We've had this conversation before, though, that I am not a TV movie watcher. So the fact that I even knew Tim the Tool Man Taylor was good.
Jason watches,
what's his new show?
Last Man Standing.
Jason is obsessed with that show. He loves it.
Yeah. When I think of like a 90s dad, it's Tim Allen.
Yep.
So. All right. Well, Jenny, we've been talking about teams.
Yep.
Al and Tim on Home Improvement were a great team.
They were.
They were very funny and they got some stuff done. Last time we talked about conflict and I just rambled and rambled about how much healthy conflict is needed within our teams to come up with the best solutions. And you're just like, and you just humored me the whole time.
I did. I kind of like, nodded right, and Greg, smiled at you.
You just keep going.
Yep.
Just keep going. And then before that, we talked about the idea of trust having to be present in a team as well, and we get there by being vulnerable.
I feel like we're building up on things, Greg. Yeah, trust, so conflict.
We have trust, we can have conflict. Now that we can have conflict, we can have commitment. And again, all this, most of this information, other than like some stuff that you and I bring to the table, is coming from a book by Patrick Lencioni called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. I'm just going to read kind of what he wrote. So like commitment is two things working together, and that would be clarity and buy-in. So great teams make clear decisions and then they move forward to achieve them. And they leave meetings knowing exactly what they need to do, when they need to do it, and who's doing it. That's what we're talking about when we talk about commitment. Does that make sense, Jenny?
Absolutely.
Okay. There's a military saying, Jenny. A general or a leader could come up with a horrible plan, but if they deliver it clearly, people will follow or people will carry the plan out. You can also have a really good plan, best plan ever, and if it's not delivered clearly, people won't carry it out. So,
makes sense. Yep.
So I guess what I'm saying is like you could have the worst plan in the world, but if you're super clear on what you're doing with it, it could work. Or you could have the best plan in the world, but if it's murky and people aren't sure what's going on, it's not going to work. So if you think about like at school, if you implement something that's not the greatest program, but you implement it with fidelity and you push your thinking and you do everything you can to make it work, there's a good chance you're going to see some student growth. You could also take a great program or a great idea, something like a Jan Richardson.
Thank you for using. That's who I was thinking. I'm glad you.
And if you muddled it up and weren't clear about what you were doing or what the expectation was or how to use this program, there's a good chance it wouldn't work.
Exactly. Yep. So how do we get the best plan with clarity?
Well, let's first start by talking about some holdups on commitment. Okay. So that's kind of the whole idea here is like, how do we get people on our team to commit to the things that the team decides to do? There's a few holdups. And the first is a census. Not like someone coming to your door and saying, like, how many people are in your house, but like coming to a consensus.
Okay.
A consensus. So if you and I have an idea, let's say the idea is I want Mexican food and you want Chinese food.
Okay.
Our consensus would be, let's meet in the middle and do something that works for both of us. And it's like, oh, I guess we're going to Applebee's because they have some Mexican food there and they have some kind of Chinese food there. And then we're both going to realize, like, well, I was really feeling like Mexican, and yeah, this Applebee's was like, it was kind of there, but like it kind of missed the mark too. We'd both be feeling like that, right?
Exactly. Like, yep.
We're like, oh, yay, we're meeting each other's needs by meeting in the middle and coming to this consensus. And I'm giving a little, you're giving a little, and we come up with Applebee's.
Meh.
Which, I mean, yeah, that's
it's
the
great,
thing.
It's great, but.
That's the thing with Applebee's. I love Applebee's, but at the same time, most of the time we go to Applebee's, it's because we can't decide where else to go. And they have, like, Christy's like, well, if we go to Applebee's, I'm going to have the Fiesta Lime Chicken. I'm going to have a bacon cheeseburger. So Applebee's. I'm sorry, but they're not a sponsor, so it's not like
that's right.
It's not like they're not gonna do it. But that 2 for $20, what a great deal!
That is, well, I haven't been to. I'm not. This is gonna sound bad. When was the last time you were at Applebee's? Do you remember?
We ordered to go last weekend.
Oh, I have not eaten at an Applebee's in probably a year and a half.
That's okay, Jenny.
Because I choose the Mexican or the Chinese.
Exactly. So like. Essentially, when we fall into looking for a consensus, we come up with weak plans or weak things to try because we're trying to please everybody. And when we try to please everybody, we don't please anybody. So we want to avoid consensus and we want to build uncertainty. Remember that?
Build on certainty.
Yes. Not uncertainty. So if you remember that military example I gave you, this would have been a great spot for it right here. Like, we want people to have a very clear idea of what it is that we're trying to do. One of the hang-ups, though, with building certainty is the amount of information. And I wrote in this book, like, here's an area I need to work on. When Greg Detmar sits down to make a decision, I want every piece of the puzzle available before I make a decision.
That's interesting.
How often in life, though, do we have every single bit of the puzzle?
Not very often.
Not very often. So when we're sitting there waiting for all the answers or all the questions and we keep debating the same things over and over and over, we're missing opportunities. Okay, we're missing the opportunity to act. If we sit and plan a reading activity and keep struggling and trying to figure out what's the best way to do it, and we keep coming to the table week after week after week, we're losing precious instructional time.
Right.
Where if we were to make a decision and we're certain with it, and we're going ahead with this, we can adapt along the way, but we can't make up that time if we just keep spinning our wheels in a place of waiting for certainty.
I agree with that. And I also think it goes with your, like, the clear, but it kind of goes with the clarity and the clearly defined steps to what we need to do. So I think sometimes, like, when we get into that rut of spinning and spinning and spinning, I think that's where, especially at the education level, that feeling of frustration comes in, because you want something, like, lots of times we want things done now or we want things done quickly. But when you're not able to come to that consensus or that certainty, it causes more of that frustration, and that spinning just kind of, it wears you out.
Yeah. So here's a great example. We just finished up conference week, and I know you guys did too.
Mm-hmm.
And due to COVID, we didn't do in-person conferences like usual. We did video conferences.
Like Zoom.
Correct.
Meetings.
We used Teams. That decision was made way before we knew exactly how that was all going to play out.
Right.
We knew we're doing virtual conferences. If we would have waited until we knew exactly every little detail about how the conferences would work, how we'd let people on, what do parents need to do, what do we need to do as educators, the time would have passed. But since we were clear and certain that this is the direction we're going, it allowed for us to adapt along the way and then come up with a plan that worked.
Yeah. It got members of the team, in different members of the team, thinking about what that looks like. So here's our end result. Here's our final decision of what's going to happen. But all those step-by-step little pieces that made it a success, happened along the way, and it allowed for the different team members to think about what it was going to take to make those conferences successful.
Correct. So think how much time we had knowing we're going to be doing virtual conferences, mm-hmm. and how much time we had to think, how much time we had to like problem solve, troubleshoot, where if we were just like waiting for, are we doing in person? Are we doing video? Are we doing a phone call? Are we sending home like a letter of how the kids are doing? We wouldn't have been able to do that stuff. But since we had direction right from the get-go, we could make it work. So as a school, like I think like of a PBIS team, do you guys, I don't.
We do.
Yep. Okay. So like as a PBIS team or like your school-wide behavior team or whatnot, if they're not all on the same page, what happens like when they go off to their individual roles? So like, let's say we're having a meeting. We don't really agree on what we're supposed to do. I don't commit to the plan the whole team's going, and maybe so-and-so is not committed either. What's going to happen when I go back to my room?
Well, I think what's hard when you go back to your rooms, one, you have those conversations with the people who maybe agree or on your side a little bit more, and you build that alliance, per se. Is that the right word?
That
alliance.
Yeah, that fits.
And it makes those feelings even stronger on your beliefs on why you're not doing something or why you're not doing whatever the PBIS team has decided. I think what it does, Greg, is it causes a disconnect with almost the overall culture of the building. Because when you have a PBIS team that's focusing on positive behaviors within the school community, your school as a whole, when you have those pockets of people that don't have the same belief or the same value in the system that you're all working towards, it causes that disconnect in how your community works as a whole.
Correct. And it might even not be like mean-spirited.
Right.
It just might be like, as a team, we didn't really come up with a clear cut. Here's what we're doing. So I'm going back and like telling people this, and maybe someone else is telling them something different. So you have like pockets of the school who are thinking and hearing different things. And it's just really, there's a disconnect there then.
Yeah.
One of the things that I like to do, and I think it really helps with the certainty, is after a meeting, especially if it's like a coaching cycle meeting with either a group or a person, I like to wrap up with like, so here's what I'm going to be working on. And it sounds like here's what you're working on. I'm going to have mine done by this time. And it sounds like you're going to have yours done by here. And we're going to get back together at this point in time. Just so we're building that certainty that when we walk away, we know exactly what each of us need to do. And then that helps us commit to what it is we're working on, to that goal, because I'm not like questioning what I'm doing. We just clearly stated it.
Yeah, provides that clarity. I think it kind of goes back to what we talked about last time, Greg, making sure that everybody has a voice in those meetings, that when we're having those meetings and you have that person that's just sitting there, getting them to speak their opinion or their ideas, because when you commit and you set that plan and you set that clarity, if you haven't heard from everybody, that's more than likely going to be that person that leaves that meeting and goes out and maybe doesn't clearly state what the expectation or what is, you know, what the goal was from the meeting and the next step or where you're going next. So I think that's a perfect tie into what we talked about last time, and just making sure that all voices are heard so that you have that buy-in and you have that commitment from everybody sitting around that table.
Yep, Jenny, and that's actually a great way to overcome like the idea of like we have to build a consensus. If everyone around the table is at least allowed to share their idea or their thought or opinion, most people are willing to jump on and do what the team needs to do, even if it's not their idea. And again, we're coming back to the point of the team, especially in a school, is to come up with the best solution for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be my idea, your idea. It's what's the best idea for the kids. Something I want to read you. I want to read to you the mission statement, the rallying cry for Epworth Elementary, which is a school I'm at. As I feel this has done a really great job this year of building in, here's exactly what we're working on. So will you entertain me with this, Jenny?
Yes.
All right. Epworth Elementary staff, during the 2020 school year, will support and build a healthy, safe, and loving environment where the social, emotional, and educational needs of all students and staff can be met.
That's a powerful statement.
So this has been a statement that Mr. Butler, our principal, shares almost weekly. It's posted several places, and it's posted, and for many of them, many of us, we've modified this in one way or another to make it our TIP goal, our professional learning goal for the year, and then developed what are we going to do to achieve this. The thing I like about this statement is it gives great clarity on what it is we're trying to do. Since it is so clear, it's so easy to commit to this rallying cry because it's like, here's what we're doing. We're building a healthy, safe, loving environment where we can meet the social, emotional, and educational needs of not just the students, but also the adults.
And as a team, did you identify or did you define what does it look like to be the healthy community? What does it look like to...
So that's where, like, as individuals, we looked at, all right, what six things can I do to commit to this and make this a reality in my role?
And that has the power in and of itself. Here's our building goal or our building clarity that we have of what we want to achieve this school year. How do I make it my own? How am I going to support that? And how am I going to commit to meeting that? I love it.
Correct. And then like any meeting we're having, so if we're having data meetings on students, either academic or social, well, why are we doing this? Well, it's meeting this rallying cry. Comes back to this. Okay, we can commit to this. We can do this. We can invest our time here. It just provides that clarity where it's like, even if this isn't the best rallying cry in the world, we're clear with it, so we're going to follow it.
Right.
You could have the best one in the world, but if you don't do anything with it and you muddle it up, you're not going to be able to achieve what you're setting out to do.
Yep.
All right, Jenny, we're back to Team A and Team B.
Okay. Have it right though? Like Team A needs to be like on the A team? Cause...
Yeah, let's talk about Team B first.
Okay.
So this would be the team that lacks commitment.
Okay.
This is the according to Patrick Lencioni, these are some of the things you're going to see from them. So these teams are going to miss opportunities, probably because they're building a consensus, or they're waiting to have all the answers before they move. They're going to lack confidence. One of the reasons you're going to lack confidence is because you're lacking clarity. Okay. Think of like times it's like when you move it or leave a meeting, it's like, oh, this is what we decided. Crystal clear. I can go do that. Or it's like, we didn't really come to a decision. What does that mean now? There's going to be a fear of failing. And most likely you're going to have a lot of repeated conversations. You're going to keep talking about the same stuff over and over and over until maybe it's too late. Then it's like, well, there's nothing we can do there, so we need to move on to the next thing. I think like that reading example I gave earlier, if it's like we're talking as a grade like about a reading strategy, and we just keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. Well, it's the end of the year. There's nothing we can do about it now. We missed that opportunity.
Well, and I think your comment about the fear of failure, you know, feeling like you have to have everything just right. Every decision has to be made. Everything has to be just so that if one little thing goes wrong and it causes that failure, then it's that, you know, back on the team of, well, we didn't do this right. We didn't think through this well enough. And it goes back to those missed opportunities then, that we're waiting for everything to be perfectly aligned and we're missing all those chances where maybe having failure, but learning from that failure to make it even better.
Correct. That team, I mean, you kind of mentioned it there. They're going to be second guessing themselves all the time because they're not going to know exactly what it is they're trying to accomplish. All right, now jumping to the A team. This is a team that they trust each other. They're okay with some healthy conflict here and there, and they're committed to the decisions of the team. So the first thing that's going to be present there is there's going to be clarity. You're going to know exactly what it is you need to do. The next thing is there's going to be alignment. Like what you're doing is going to align and work with what I'm doing in our individual roles. We're going to learn from our mistakes. We're going to build confidence. And then there's just going to be an energy to that team because you're going to feel like you're actually getting things accomplished. I don't know if you've ever been to a meeting where it's just like, I'm no better off after that meeting than I was before.
Yep.
We want to avoid those.
The biggest waste of times.
Correct. All right. So kind of in closing, I would do want to come back to what I mentioned earlier and the idea of after a meeting being really specific on, well, what's the next steps? I've been working with a teacher in writing for probably 3 years now, a couple years. We have this great working relationship. And after each meeting, it's like very clear. It's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get it to you by then. I'm going to show up these days in your classroom. We're going to meet this next Monday. And then she's kind of the same way. It's like, well, here's what I'm doing, and here's what I'm going to have it done by. Like, there's that clarity and certainty about what we're doing, where it's so easy to commit to the writing goal we're trying to achieve. If you want to learn more about that, like, we did an episode over COVID about meetings. I used the same teacher as an example there, but talked a little bit more about those, but just clarifying what it is we all need to do, especially at the end of those meetings.
Because there's nothing worse leaving a meeting going, I wonder who's going to take care of that.
Correct. Or like how many times, like, man, there was some really good stuff talked about there, but like,
yeah, what are we going to do? Are we doing that?
Like, I don't want to have to do all that by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And two, yeah, how can we divvy this work up? If we think this is something that needs to be done, let's assign names to it so it gets done.
Yep. Shouldn't all fall on one person's shoulders.
No, unless Jenny's in the group.
I just do it, Greg.
Just make Jenny. Yeah,
I just
you
do that for you.
I know. You just carrying the weight of my little world on your back. All right, Jenny. Anything else on commitment?
I don't think so.
Good, good.
Can you commit? Let's see. What could I make you commit to? I got nothing.
All right.
Saying that you love snow?
I enjoy snow.
Okay.
Committed to shoveling that stuff. Well, as Jenny thinks... Check out our website, www.iccpodcast.com. All our past shows are there. Our social media links are there as well. We'd love to hear from you there. Check us out, follow us, get all the latest information right there. As we leave, ask yourself, what one thing can I do tomorrow that will make me a better version of myself? Then do it, because greatness isn't achieved by one event, but instead a series of small, intentional steps.
Hey! Go be awesome.